Today's program is brought to you by Regional Access. Regional Access is a regional distributor committed to creating sustainable economies throughout the Northeast. For more information, visit regionalaccess.net.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. It's 5 o'clock and it's Wednesday, and if it's 5 o'clock and it's Wednesday, and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, then you're listening to me, Phil Colicchio, on The Business of the Business. That's the show on the Heritage Radio Network that explores the business side of the hospitality industry. I tell people we care more about how much the parsley costs than how much the parsley, how long it lasts on the shelf. Although that's an economic metric too. You can hear us every week at 5 o'clock. If you miss us every once in a while, an audience member misses a live broadcast, they know that they can go to www.heritageradionetwork.org, click onto the Business of the Business icon, and listen to any one of the 30 or so archived shows that we have. I actually learned today that someone has done that recently. And you can also find us as a podcast on iTunes. I'm still waiting for my royalties from iTunes, but hopefully they'll come soon. So let's get down to business. A lot of times, people think about the restaurant industry as an art, and there's certainly art to it, but the restaurant industry, the restaurant business, is a business. When you listen to the Heritage Radio Network, you hear a lot about sustainability. And when you listen to this show, you'll hear a refrain that says you can't be sustainable unless you're economically sustainable. Today, we're going to talk about the art and the science of the cover. Cover is restaurant lingo. Restaurants have great business lingo. If you're 86th on carrots, that means you're out of carrots. If there's a deuce in the corner, that means there are two people sitting at a table. If you are going to be able to make your monthly nut, you better have enough covers in the restaurant to help you do it. The cover is what we call a customer, and it's a customer who pays. Well, today, I've got the co-founder of a payment mechanism called Cover, and that's Mark Eggerman, who's in the studio with us today. Mark, welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
It's always nice to be in Bushwick, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Could you think of a better place to spend an afternoon?
Totally blanking.
It's wonderful. Mark, Cover is brand spanking new, it has been on... probably it's been on the minds of the restaurant industry for many years without even knowing it. We began to have a very interesting chat, really about one of the things that fascinates me is the history of this business. And, you know, you mentioned, hey, the game changed in the 50s with something called the credit card, right?
Yep, Diners Club.
Talk about it. Bring us from the history of payments, besides trinkets and beads, up to what we have now with your business model. And I want to sit back and actually hear you talk about it.
Sure. So I'm going to skip sort of the Yapstones, and I'm going to skip sort of the move from printing currency or printing coins and then state currencies and state banks to the Federal Reserve. Fair we arrive enough. In 1950 in New York City. Diners Club started the general purpose credit card revolution. Prior to that, you may have had a line of credit at Sears Roebuck. You may have had a line of credit at your local restaurant, right? If you notice, if you watch old-time television shows, even all the way up through Cheers, they never actually pay their bills, right? So individuals might have credit offered at an individual store, but the idea that you would have an instrument where you could go from store to store and be offered credit and then pay it later was born here in New York City in 1950.
Wow.
In restaurants. So Diners Club comes along, and they have this idea that at participating restaurants, you could effectively put down your card, and back then they would get on the phone and say, you know, Klondike 67, they would call Diners Club.
Butterfield, Butterfield 8, right.
Yep, and they would approve an individual transaction, and that would go onto your account, and then at the end of the month, you would pay a bill for your consolidated credit at all of these restaurants. Now, we are so spoiled by sort of the easy availability of consumer credit, right? It seems outrageous to think that before Bank AmeriCard became Visa, before MasterCard, before American Express, that there weren't these devices that you could go and traveled with you that were open-ended credit.
Absolutely.
So given that, in 1950, this revolution starts here in New York, and restaurants was where it started for a number of reasons, and it's where it today, I think, is one of the largest pain points in all of payments in the country. Right, so restaurants pay one of the highest rates to take credit cards.
I'm going to interrupt you right there. That drives me bananas as a lawyer who represents restaurants and hospitality groups and how they are gouged, in my estimation, by the fees that are charged by the credit providers. Now, granted, the credit providers provide an extraordinary service to the restaurant industry in particular. The restaurant industry, of course, is, we know it, it relies upon day-to-day transactional revenue to survive.
Mm-hmm.
They can't live on month-to-month
nope.
payments. So there is a freight to pay. Bring us up to cover and how cover fits now, not only fits into the system, but actually takes that system, that payment system, really into where it should be,
sure.
Into the present and the future.
Sure. So Diners Club is sort of a relic of the past. It's now owned by Discover. But where we are today, restaurants pay the second highest rate of any industry in the economy, behind gas stations and sort of the Modo blend. There's a number of reasons for this, but fundamentally, you are right that there is something that looks like gouging that is occurring.
Yeah.
And I noticed this before we started cover. And I also noticed that Americans weren't really using mobile payments. And it's worth noting that when we take a taxi here in New York, you could use Google Wallet, but people don't. Right? When you go to Duane Reade, you could pay with your phone, but by and large, people don't.
But they're not ready, right?
I don't think it's not that they're not ready.
Tell me.
I mean, think people pay with lots of things for their phones. When you buy apps, when you buy things within an app,
yep.
When you take an Uber, when you, you know, do Airbnb, there's New Yorkers spend a lot of money on their phones.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is waving your phone in front of a register is not better than swiping a credit card.
No.
And so we looked and we decided that fundamentally mobile payments weren't taking off because they weren't an improvement on the status quo. And so restaurants have this horrible status quo in terms of prices for restaurants. And also it's not a great customer experience. You know, you have to wait for the check. They bring you the check. You put down a bunch of cards. They take them away. They bring them back. They give you some paper. You do some math. You sign it. And then you go. And we thought, well, we could beat that. We can beat that not by replacing it with by pressing a bunch of buttons on your phone, by just getting rid of the payment altogether.
That's monumental.
Well, thank you.
By the way, well, but I mean, I will miss the click of the plastic of the 20 plastic cards mm-hmm. that get thrown into the middle of the table. But
my guess is wait staff will not. Right? No one thinks that the best part of his or her job. Is swiping 8 cards with 40 on this card and 37 on that card.
And your phrasing about pain point is I thought that was very well phrased. You come to this industry through quite an extraordinary background in mobile payments. I'm going to let you tell the audience what your introduction to the mobile payment industry was.
So I made a mistake that a lot of us do. I went to law school.
Damn.
It happens to the best of us.
Recovering lawyer.
I am a recovering attorney. It's a sort of a stain that will last with me, but I've moved beyond. That I was a programmer who went to law school specifically. And one of my law school professors was a woman named Professor Elizabeth Warren, who's now known as Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Yes, I was about to say. That's an excellent reference.
But at the time, she was appointed to by the president to lead a new federal agency called the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Right.
And we spoke, and I decided to quit my job and join her in both launching a startup in the federal government, which is rare.
Yeah, that's, you know, I hadn't thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, put, yeah.
So when I started, and I was one of the first dozen or so people, and when I left, there's over 1,000. So, you know, I saw some startup experience with some very interesting constraints and no monetary concerns. We never really thought about profit and loss in the same way. But while there, I was actually responsible for mobile payments policy, wondering if the future of payments and the future of how American consumers would be using banks and using credit cards was actually, you know, sort of set up in a regulatory way to make sure that consumers' rights were protected.
So whether you're a big government fan or not, that is actually a government agency that seems to have spawned some real advances in how businesses get paid and how consumers make payments, making it significantly easier, safer.
Sure.
Safer, yeah.
So protecting consumer rights is something I still feel very strongly about, I still care about. One of the things I noticed while I was there was that small businesses were getting squeezed by banks as well.
Yeah.
And nowhere was it more obvious than restaurants, which, as I said, not only do they pay one of the highest average rates, but rates had gone up 70-something percent in 6 years, right? And so we watched this, and I was watching as Americans were trying to figure out how to pay with their phone and what their future was, whether there were sort of barriers to innovation. And I realized something, that here is a payment system that isn't working for restaurants.
Yeah.
And it's not working for consumers.
Yeah. Bargaining power is pretty limited.
Yeah. And instead of trying to create a mobile wallet, which you can use in big box stores and in taxi cabs and at hotels and on airplanes, why don't we just build something that works in one vertical, and that vertical is restaurants?
I'm here with Mark Eggerman, co-founder of Cover, a mobile payment system that is being employed in restaurants in Manhattan. I know that shortly it will be employed in restaurants throughout New York, throughout the boroughs. It's a startup. It's a classic startup. I could go another show, if you'll let me, about how the startup gained its traction and its funding. But I think for now, you know, I want to focus on use. So first tell me about the consumer. The consumer is going to use this. How? What's the experience?
So we modeled this experience after what I think is the best payment experience that I know of, which is getting out of an Uber. When you just go and say what you will about Uber and say what you will about
I'm a fan.
You just don't have to deal with it. It just goes right to your phone and you go on with your life. If you are a consumer using Cover, you only have to sign up once. You put in your information. When you go to a Cover restaurant, you say, table for two, I'd like to pay with Cover. And then you put your phone away after you've created a table. You have a great meal, you have a great experience, hospitality is through the roof. And when you're done and they say, would you like anything else? You say, I'm all set. They say, you're good to go. And you can just walk right out.
That's magical.
That's what we
aim
for.
And as a matter of fact, from a dining experience, it's powerful. It's a powerful experience for the consumer to be able to control that moment,
mm-hmm.
you know. And as a business person, I find myself taking clients out to dinner. And one of the great experiences you can have when you take a business associate out to dinner is the appearance of you owning the moment.
That's right.
And to be able to simply say, we're finished, thank you very much, and get up and leave. You know, there's not the
said, don't worry, right? We're covered.
Is that all right? Boy, I guess I should ask you about that name, shouldn't I? All right, Mark Eggerman, co-founder of Cover. Like I said, we can go for an awful long time, but I think what we ought to do now is we ought to respect our venue. There's a pizza that just came in from Roberta's.
Mm-hmm.
We should take a break. We should let our sponsors enhance the lives of our listeners. When we come back, a little bit of role play where I want you to, I want to own the restaurant and I want you to sell me on this. I want to know how much it's going to cost, how much it's going to save me. I'm going to want to know whether or not my wait staff, my service staff is going to be able to enhance my customer's experience by having more time to dote on them or to get out of their way, whichever the customer wants. But we're going to come back in a couple of minutes. Phil Colicchio on the business of the business on the heritageradionetwork.org with the super interesting Mark Eggerman. We'll be right back.
I still wake up and I'm living. I'm still loving and I'm giving.
Today's program is brought to you by Regional Access. Regional Access is a regional distributor committed to creating sustainable economies throughout the Northeast. This community-oriented company was built on a vision of providing ecologically responsible and ethically produced food to area consumers. During a typical week at the Regional Access warehouse, they help move thousands of pounds of natural and grass-fed meat, gallons of farm-fresh dairy, and tons of organic and specialty foods from producer to market. Having been in the distribution business for almost 25 years, Regional Access's experience and knowledge make them uniquely equipped to build out their region's food web. Up in the Finger Lakes, Regional Access will continue to champion the region's bounty and work toward a sustainable food system for the entire Northeast. For more information, visit regionalaccess.net.
We've been wondering, was there something that we could have done to keep you here with us under the sun? But you made up your mind to leave this broken up world behind. All we can do is hope you made it there.
You are listening to Other Shore by the California Honey Drops here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Just to see a smiling face again, will our land, will joy never end. But for now, your love keeps lifting me while I'm clinging to your memory. Oh, 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 oh. I'll meet you on that other shore. Something that we could have done to keep you here with us under the sun. But you made up your mind to leave this broken up world behind. All we can do is hope you made it there and let you know that you're
here. Hey, welcome, welcome, welcome back to the business of the business on heritageradionetwork.org. Phil Colicchio is your host. I'm here with Mark Eggerman, who is making life better for consumers in the restaurant industry through his new company called Cover. It is a mobile payment system in which I, as a consumer, can walk into a participating Cover restaurant. I can say I'd like to pay with Cover this evening. I am seated. I get to enjoy my dinner. And when I am finished, I can put my napkin down and leave. No fuss, no muss, but a lot of questions that, that I'm sure have been asked of you 10 times. So let's make it 11 now.
Great.
From a consumer standpoint, maybe you should be able to lift that great line from Reservoir Dogs, right? I don't tip. Well, that's really not true. We all tip. It occurs to me that we have to think about tipping at the front end as opposed to the back end in this transaction. Is that right?
That's partially right.
Okay.
So each customer in Cover can set his or her own default tip, right? And basically from 18 to 30%, which we find is sort of the appropriate range in New York, mm-hmm. most people tip around 20%.
Right.
But when you have your default set and you have a meal and you're done, that's what will be left. You could always pull your phone out of your pocket or out of your purse and change your tip. The customer is always in control. Mm-hmm. But what we find, having done thousands of meals, is that by and large, people leave what they always leave, and they'd rather just not think about it.
You know, and nobody precludes you from taking a 10 or a 20 out of your wallet and leaving it on the table.
That's absolutely correct.
Right? Which, frankly, is a pretty interesting way to control the experience again. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking as a consumer now, but I want to flip it a little bit. And now I want to go at it from my client's perspective, from the restaurant mm-hmm. perspective. And obviously, I've set up my business on their current operating standards, right? Is that I've got to train my service staff about how to obtain payment in a manner that is, as you put out, is the most painful moment of the experience, unless you've had a bad experience, is when the check comes. Sometimes it's an awkward moment. Sometimes it's a painful moment. Sometimes it's a moment that's funny. Sometimes it's a moment that's frightening. Sometimes, as you pointed out, I have lost control as the consumer at that moment in time, right? When that check comes and I take out my credit card, I've lost control right at that moment. So I'm in the high-end restaurant business, or even modest restaurant business, but service is important to me. Why do I want to contract with you and cover?
So again, no one is forced to take cover. The reason that many top restaurants are choosing to take cover is it gives you as the restaurateur more control over that end of meal experience.
Mm-hmm.
With cover, you get to decide how you're going to treat the end of the meal. You have no requirements to take a credit card, to present a bill. You can if you would like. But this is an ability not just for the consumer to have control, but for the restaurateur to understand how to craft an end of meal experience. And we've been astonished by how many different ways our participating restaurants have decided to use this additional freedom.
Examples.
So some restaurants love to bring by an itemized receipt, place it down and say, you're all set. Here you go. And some actually have a very formal check presentation with absolutely nothing in there, which is interesting. It's saying you may have been expecting something, but you don't have it. Right. And so we have been finding, we never tell people how to run their restaurant. We would never do that. We give them a tool.
Yeah.
Right? And this is a tool that gives you the ability to control how that meal ends. And increasingly, what people are finding is you no longer have to ask, would you like to see a dessert menu? Because you know if they don't want to see a dessert menu, they can just leave whenever they're ready. But you now have wait staff who can come by and be like, in case you're interested.
There you have it. What is it going to cost me if I'm a restaurant to engage in, to become a partner in Cover?
So this is the best part. Cover is completely free to use for both consumers and for restaurants.
Which leads me to the next question. Mm-hmm. How are you making your money here?
So we are payment processors. What we have is we have the consumer's credit cards on file, and we process the payments much like existing payment processors do for restaurants. We are able, in fact, to often beat, and in fact always beat, the rates that are given to us that the restaurants are currently paying. And we believe in doing this in a transparent way. So we have a simple fixed rate price. There's no swipe fees. There's no hidden fees. There's no monthly fees. We are upfront and we do next day deposits. We care a lot about operations.
It's critical.
Yep. And this is a business that relies a lot upon cash flow.
A lot. It's everything. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. So when my clients are, I'm looking at P&Ls or I'm looking at monthlies, mm-hmm. With my clients, you know, we get to that painful credit card charges, mm-hmm. that they have. What do you say is the average that they're seeing?
So I see two averages. I see averages that people think they're paying, and I see averages what they're actually paying.
Right. And we're talking now, audience, we're talking about what the restaurants pay to American Express or Visa or other credit card companies to use their service.
That's right. Right. And in fact, we've had restaurateurs actually tell us that earlier restaurants of theirs had gone under.
Yeah.
Because of the number one reason was credit card fees. Because you plan out your whole business and you have your whole everything in mind, you know exactly what you're charging, and you forget you're losing a huge part of your top line.
Right.
So what we are finding is on average here in New York City, restaurants are paying between 3.2% and 4.7%.
That's what I see.
What we're seeing is people think they're paying 2.5% to 2.9%. No one thinks they're paying 4.5%. Many of our clients are. If we sit down and go over their 2 months' most recent receipts, it's astonishing.
Is that part of your marketing process? Do you go through that with them?
So I actually would rather not.
Ah.
You know, so no one likes this, right? No one ever looks at one of these things and says, oh, this is why I opened a restaurant, right? Yeah. You know, like, this is an awful part of the business, but it's an important part of the business. Mm-hmm. We believe transparent, see-through, you know, straightforward pricing is the way to go. And I wish that others in the space did. We hope, in fact, to encourage others to move in that direction.
So Cover is negotiating better charges. Mm-hmm. With the credit card companies, with the credit providers.
Sure.
My profit and loss statement at the end of each month is going to show, if I'm becoming a Cover member, I'm going to be saving.
That's right.
A couple thousand dollars or more in any given month. I looked at it. I looked at a P&L today,
mm-hmm.
Mark, of a restaurant that was struggling, a popular restaurant that was struggling. Unbeknownst to the rest of the world. And I looked, and I winced when I got to a couple of different columns, but what they've paid in credit card fees over the last 9 months has been extraordinary.
Right.
And if you take it out of the equation, and while it might not have put them over the hump, it certainly would help their cash flow.
Sure.
Right.
So, and again, I don't think, like I said, I don't think people who love negotiating payment rates open restaurants all that often. But it's also worth noting that even the largest, you know, highest grossing restaurants here in New York are small businesses. Mm-hmm. The highest grossing restaurant in New York makes less in a year than your average Target makes in a month.
Absolutely right.
And every Target has a group negotiated rate, whereas Olive Garden might have that, but very few three Michelin starred restaurants do.
Yeah, we haven't quite figured out the restaurant collaborative system here in the U.S. yet.
That is correct. And you might think a trade association like the National Restaurant Association mm-hmm. might play a role in that, but given the turnover that happens,
yeah.
they tend to represent chains and other groups that already have good payment rates.
Right. I think that's exactly right. Again, audience, I'm here with Mark Eggerman. He's got a brilliant, brilliant product that is bound to be a game changer. In the restaurant industry, they had the stones to roll it out in New York. But as the chairman of the board once said, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere in this dining obsessed city that we have, in this app crazy city that we have. People are reaching out. Are you finding users? Are you finding that users are giving you a lot of feedback, or are you finding that they're just so happy they're just going to continue on?
So we have consumers, mm-hmm. And we have great feedback from consumers. Mm-hmm. Consumers will write us the first time they use it, and they said, this was incredible, right? I put down my napkin, I walked out, and after decades of waiting for the check, it's like the scales fell from my eyes. I don't have to do this anymore, right? And I'm old enough to remember when we had to check out of hotels, right? And then they started slipping the bill under our door. And then eventually they just email it to us now. Right. And unless you're in Las Vegas or at a bed and breakfast, you know, you don't really check out anymore. And if I went to a hotel and they said, thank you very much for staying at the Four Seasons, you need to check out between 10 and 11 tomorrow morning. I'd say, nah, you have my credit card. Just, you know, slip it under the door. And so we're seeing some of that, right? Sort of recognition that this is just a better customer experience.
Now, again, curious, also as a customer, as a guy who routinely gets presented with the bill at mm-hmm. dinner, right? The king of pain. What I will do is I'm thinking as I'm ordering dinner and as my guests are ordering dinner, I am thinking about how much is being spent.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm going to pay for it. I'm thinking about it. It's not the dominant thought in my head, but I'm there. Is this going to help a guy like me to say, do I need to pay more attention, less attention?
So the field of behavioral economics sort of addresses this issue,
yeah.
which is whether people look
at I'm crazy about your background. This is why I'm just, I can go all day.
I grew up, my father said you could divide the world into people who looked at the left side of the menu first or who looked at the right side of the menu first. It was sort of a class-based understanding of how people thought.
Right.
Behavioral economics will tell us that when the prices aren't present or prevalent, you focus on maximizing your enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think about the price, you think about what you want.
Right.
And we would like to believe, and we are increasingly getting data to show this, although I will have as a caveat, I would like more data before I can make this claim more strongly.
Right.
That people are ordering what they want, they're ordering more desserts, they're ordering more after-dinner drinks and coffees, and that they are having a better experience, which may coincide with larger bills.
Right.
But again, I want to sort of couch that in saying, we just launched to the public, and I'm not sure the data is clean enough for me to say that strongly.
I would want to use data for it as well, but I would also want to use my common sense and, mm-hmm. and that common and my experience, which is that if I'm in a comfortable environment, if I am feeling that I am being treated as a truly as an equal,
yep.
By the staff, by the by the other people in the restaurant, if I'm I don't have to be given great service. I just have to be given respectful service. And I have to feel like I'm on the same plane. And then I'm not worried as much about the bill. Where have the restaurants, do you feel, can you tell us some of the restaurants that have joined up?
Sure. So we're thrilled with the restaurants that we're working with. We're working with great places like Charlie Bird and Carbone, Estella, Lartusi, Northern Spy, just wonderful restaurants all over Manhattan. We are growing and expanding. And having restaurant partners like that means what you use Cover, you're going to have a great experience no matter where you go. And that's important to us.
So now let's dive in for one moment to the to that that moment in time where you've got to sign your first restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your play. How did it work?
It was a little nerve-wracking, actually.
Yeah, I want to, yeah. That's, yeah,
so
I
our very first restaurant was Yunnan Kitchen in the Lower East Side. And we created a reservation for four. And then we had to go in and convince a manager, just trust us on this one. Instead of taking a credit card, put some numbers into this iPad. It's going to work. And, you know, I had actually written that original iPad.
You didn't prepare the manager for this. This was
sort of, we had a warm introduction from a friend who knew the owner and who mm-hmm. knew the manager. And, you know, Yunnan Kitchen is still a Cover member. We love Yunnan Kitchen. They're phenomenal. And it worked. And my co-founder and I, and, you know, we had written every single line of code. We had worked very hard to make sure this worked. We sat at a bar down the street watching on our laptops, fingers crossed, hoping this better work, this better work. And amazingly, it worked. Like, wow. It was sort of like incredible.
That's great. So it was really, that's a truly organic
sure. Look,
experience.
We launched it. I moved to New York. Our office was my apartment. And the two of us just for months and months and months wrote everything ourselves. We're happy. We're a team of six now.
That's
we're
great.
We're growing quickly, but yeah.
Well, we're gonna save the story of how we founded it, how we seeded it, all of that
sure.
for our next round. How do we contact you? How does my community of listeners are mm-hmm. restaurant owners, they are managers, and they are customers.
Mm-hmm.
How do we reach you?
Well, so as customers, we are in the App Store. You can just download it. It's free to use.
Mm-hmm.
Owners, we actually have an ability to contact us on our website, which is www.paywithcover.com.
Okay.
You can always send us an email at info@paywithcover. You can find us on LinkedIn. You can find us on Twitter.
How about old school? Got a phone number?
Yes, we do. And that number is 617-595-3953. There will someone answer it day or night. And we are happy to talk to anyone who's interested in working with Cover.
I think it's an extraordinary advance in a very important component of the restaurant industry. Restaurateurs, I can see those of you who are doing gross revenues of between 2 and 5 million, saving $15,000 or $16,000 a year, possibly more with a service like this. All of you restaurant clients, I think that the ease of the transaction is frankly going to be addictive. Are we going to find that Cover is going to be storing information on me? Right? I'm concerned about that every time I turn around now. Tell me.
So that's actually a great question. Cover will never sell that information to advertisers or anyone. Any information we have will be shared with the restaurants that you dine at. So they might say when you arrive, you haven't been there in a few weeks, so they can say, welcome back.
Nothing more than open table.
That's right.
Right.
Our goal, we are payment processors. We do not make our money by selling consumer data. We are very protective of that. Mm-hmm. We would only ever share that data to give you a better dining experience.
Competition is, we all face it. It's collegial at best, and sometimes it's cutthroat at worst. Your competition in this industry would seem to me to be those groups that are already integrated into the industry. But no one has really taken this step with it. Is the goal to really be first to market, get into this, become ingrained?
We continue to work with some of the best restaurants here in New York. And we continue to believe that New York is the restaurant capital of the country. That, as you said, if we can make it here, we can make it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
As we grow by staying here in New York, by working with so many top restaurants, it's less about first to market. It's more about establishing ourselves as credible,
yeah,
as the kind of partner that restaurants trust. And as we grow from here, there is competition, and I will never be one to speak lightly of competition. But we believe that if we can, you know, cut our teeth here on the streets of fine dining in New York, yeah, we can do it anywhere we want.
Yeah. Where do you see, if you're not, if you're prepared, but where do you see this going in terms of regions first? Where do you see the growth?
That's a great question. Since we've launched, we've had incredible interest from across the country, from, you know, major dining centers to places I would be surprised. I will be honest, I am unlikely to know which city will be the most interested in trying cover. Mm-hmm. Using information, using data, trying to figure that out is a challenge that we have, but we're going to stay in New York for a while. We want to be as ubiquitous in New York as paying with an American Express. We want you to walk into any decent restaurant in New York and assume they take cover.
Right.
And at that point, we're ready to grow.
Danica, again, I'm thinking that I want to open a restaurant just to get this.
Well, thank you.
And I'm just a big fan of anything that can take the gouge, frankly, out. Mm-hmm. Because the gouge always winds up back at the consumer. And in a circumstance like we have here, I'm struggling to see a downside, which is great. The lawyer in me is sitting here wanting to cross-examine you about a few things, but you've answered every question so thoroughly. I'm just going to leave you with one more. Where do you see it in 1 year? You've got 6 employees now. You're seeing where the growth is going. You've got great clients. Mm-hmm. Those clients are going to, whether they like it or not, are going to help you grow.
That's right.
And how are you enhancing their experience? Because they're effectively your partners.
That's correct. We actually consider ourselves a partner in the restaurants.
Yeah.
And where we see ourselves in 1 year's time is at this point, we do hope to be ubiquitous here in New York at all 5 boroughs. And we will be expanding. And how and where we expand is what we're debating now. But in order for this to grow and grow beyond just sort of organic, slow growth, we need to be thoughtful and strategic about this. We are unwilling to compromise what made us the company that we are today. We want to be a trustworthy partner to restaurants. And if that means taking our time and doing this thoughtfully, we're going to do it every step of the way.
Mark Eggerman, co-founder of Cover. Mark, I won't be satisfied until you come back and pay for that pizza with Cover here at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. We're going to wrap it up. I want to thank you very much for coming in, for sharing an extraordinary new application for payment that I think is going to be a game changer in the restaurant industry. We're thrilled to have you. I hope you'll come back.
Thank you.
For the audience, again, one last time, the website?
Paywithcover.com.
Paywithcover.com. If you are smart, you'll go to it right now and get yourselves educated. Thanks for listening. Phil Colicchio here on the Business of the Business at heritageradionetwork.org. Let's get some pizza.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.